Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest,
legendary rock star producer manager Peter Asher.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Yes, look, it's me. I've recovered from Zika virus.
Good.
I've just got a very small head.
There's a lot going on in the show today. Linda Halligan's going to be here to count down the top five foods for the big game on Sunday. And Caroline Bruderer will feature one of our most notable community members in our cause corner.
Good. I'm going to make fart noises and belch a lot. Pure comedy gold.
So glad you're back. The show was just way too polite while you were away.
Too nice without me. I heard you yesterday. You were floundering.
All right, Jason's here. It's Daily Scramble Live. Good morning.
Daily Scramble Live.
We love our community here at KX93.5. We love you, Laguna Beach. And this weekend is a quintessential community event, Jason Fetty.
Quintessential.
Good
like
word.
It.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's called The Shap Show, and it's this Saturday, February 6th at 7 p.m. at the Artist Theater at the high school. It's a student concert raising money for a safe and sober senior grad night. They've been doing this for many years. Gary Shapiro, former math teacher now, who just retired from Laguna Beach High School, still runs the show, which is why it's called Shap Show. Tickets are $10 for students and $15 for adults. And it's, again, at the Artist Theater this Saturday night at 7 p.m.
Brilliant. It's a big deal. That's every year. Nice thing. Why not?
Right. So this young woman named Rosie, Rosie Morial, could be Morialli. What's your take?
I think we'll just call her Rosie, like Cher.
Rosie, a high school student, brought in she's got a full CD. How old were you when you had a full CD?
That was 62. I don't know. Yes,
a
big
full
deal.
14-track CD. It's on iTunes, on the Google Play Store, and she's got a single called Back and Forth that I imagine she's performing at the Shap Show on Saturday. So we're going to play that.
Good for you, Rosie.
We'll play that now. And
for the whole CD?
Yep, 14 tracks.
Full album Monday.
Then we'll come back. It's Wednesday.
We'll come back. It feels like Monday to me.
Come back in the 8 o'clock hour, and Rosie will be on the air. We'll talk to her for a couple hours.
I'm going back to sleep. We should have some little cots in here, shouldn't we?
We're playing one song. We're playing the single called Back and Forth, and then we'll get to the news here in a minute. But we wanted to do this while we caught some high schoolers driving to school this morning. So here's Rosie Morial, Back and Forth on KX93.5.
About the sky, we just sit there talking, we just sit there smiling. We look up at the clouds, we point out all the shapes, we sit there laughing, just as friends. You make me smile all the time without even trying.
X93.5, your daily scramble news now.
All right. Let's start with the local stuff, courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom. The district's attorney's office said a former U.S. treasurer for U.S. Representative Dana Rohrabacher's reelection campaign will be arraigned today on charges of embezzling over $300,000 from campaign funds and from a business where he previously worked. A spokesman for the district attorney's office says Jack Winpo Wu, 45, was arrested at his home in Newport Beach yesterday and charged with three felony counts of grand theft by embezzlement and 21 counts of forgery. Wu owns Costa Mesa accounting firm Wu Bell. He was fired by Rohrabacher's campaign last May when the campaign manager discovered $170,000 missing from accounts. The Republican congressman from Costa Mesa represents a district that spans from Huntington Beach to parts of Laguna Beach. If convicted, Wu faces a maximum sentence of 20 years.
Can't trust anybody, can you?
Don't do that, man.
I know.
I thought this story was about Rohrabacher embezzling money for a moment.
That would have been great. That would have been a great story.
Well, okay. That's one
Let's
way of looking at it.
Spread that rumor.
No. It was his campaign guy.
It was Jack Wu.
Yep. All right, so also in political news, nationally here, Republicans and Democrats vying for the party's ticket for the November U.S. presidential election have been arriving in New Hampshire ahead of the next vote. They're just going state to state to state. I mean, how tiring that must be.
I'm so sick of this election.
Well, it's not over. Monday's caucuses in Iowa were won by Senator Ted Cruz for Republicans, Hillary Clinton for Democrats. Cruz prevailed despite trailing in opinion polls, while Clinton beat Bernie Sanders by just 0.2% and six flips of the coin. New Hampshire is quite different.
Help me.
The state's more moderate, less religious electoral may prove a tougher nut for Cruz to crack in the primaries due to hold on the 9th of February. Trump's expected to do much better than in Iowa, and Sanders is seen as having the home advantage in New Hampshire because he was the senator of Vermont.
It's like sport, isn't it? It just sounds more and more like sports reporting. Sanders has got the home advantage. You know, and we're talking about people's lives here.
Can you explain something to me? And I didn't want to ask this on the air yesterday I couldn't have got an explanation.
I don't know. It's like, try me.
Just because you've taken the U.S. I need to be a citizen test.
Right.
I feel like you know more about this than I do.
Yeah. Capital of California, Sacramento.
Some states do primaries and some do cockeye. Is that the plural? Some do cockeye and some do primaries.
Let's say it is the
I'm certain plural. That it is.
Yeah. Cockeye.
And when they do a cockeye, they have delegates that are sent to a convention to vote for the candidates.
Right.
I don't understand that part.
You do. You just said it. That's right. Exactly right.
But whoever gets the most delegates therefore has the most votes at the convention.
Right. But they're all still trying to convince each other. Backhanders are happening. Money's being exchanged.
Could the delegates change their mind before they go to the convention?
Can, Absolutely. Yeah. And then finally you come up with somebody, because somebody becomes like the guy. And everybody breathes a sigh of relief and goes, thank God it's whoever. By that point, you're like, if Ted Cruz is the guy, all right, what? That's fine. Even if we've got a guy who believes that angels speak to him, that's fine, whatever. At least we've got somebody now. Then you put him up for your thing, and everybody goes to the local, down the cul-de-sac and into somebody's garage, and they stand in a booth and they press a button on a thing, on a machine. And then the Electoral College decides who's going to be the president. I don't understand this. The system doesn't make any sense. George Washington is spinning in his grave.
I've never been more confused about an election before. I don't know why. This time I don't get it. There's something I'm missing. Primary makes sense to me. The primary is simple. But especially the Democratic caucus is so confusing.
They do it in a basketball court.
They separate everybody into groups.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, that group's got to go over here. And if you're in a minority group, you got to now disperse and do it. It's like an American Idol where they put everybody in rooms.
Yeah, it's totally like
and
that.
And then they eliminate
exactly.
You.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Exactly.
And then they say, oh, no, I'm holding out for the... Because you're the last man standing, you know. None of it was... I mean, it was great TV, actually, for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But
well, you were also on a lot of NyQuil.
I was on a lot of NyQuil, yeah. Yeah. But, it's a weird system you've got here, bud. Or we've got here, I suppose.
Have you been to a caucus?
No, certainly not.
All right.
No.
Okay, well, that'll do it for the news so far.
Confused? You will be.
We've got stories on the Zika virus later on. And some train thefts in Tokyo. But those are for a later moment. For
train
now.
Thefts? How do you steal a train?
You'll see what I mean.
Wow.
Here's Hidden Charms, local music on KX93.5.
Yeah, the album was called Leaders of the Free World. It came out in 2005, and it was by Elbow, and I wish they were the leaders of the free world. That would be great.
Hey, how you feeling? You okay?
Oh, I'm all right.
Yeah?
I got bored. That's why I'm back at work.
You're not because you're feeling better?
No, I don't feel that great, really.
You just were really bored.
I was just bored.
Did you watch The Price is Right? I always watch The Price is Right when I'm sick.
Really? You know that our little jingle, Daily Scramble, the one at the beginning of the show?
Uh-huh.
Ba-do, 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 ba-do. That one.
Yeah?
It always makes me think of an afternoon quiz show.
Yeah, totally. Let's make a deal.
Yeah, sort of thing.
But you didn't watch?
I didn't. No, I don't get cable, so I didn't watch any of that.
Oh, well, that's why you're bored.
I watched heavy stuff, man. I watched heavy things. I watched heavy things.
Like what?
Documentaries. I watched a documentary last night about Afghanistan. Oh, my God, it was the most depressing thing.
Why would you do that? You got to watch light stuff.
I didn't really learn anything.
Like 90s rom-coms, game shows. That's what I do when I'm sick. Yeah.
No, I didn't. We did watch, actually, the BBC are doing War and Peace.
God.
No, it's great because it's just a soap opera, really. It's a lot of stupid people falling in love with the wrong people.
You know, I read this morning in a brief news item that the BBC is likely to make their own on-demand streaming service to compete with Netflix and Hulu.
Oh,
and they've recently taken Doctor Who off of Netflix and Hulu because it's being anticipated they'll have their own thing.
Doctor Hulu. Sorry, that was the most obvious thing. No, they have got some great content. We do a sneaky thing.
Yes.
I'm not sure I should really say this on the radio. There's a thing you can buy. It's something to do with it's got some letters attached to it. You may know what this is. VPN. What's that?
Yeah, it's like a remote access.
Right. So you pretend you're in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, God.
But you're not there. You buy it. You pay money for it.
You really shouldn't do that.
Why not?
I don't know. It's piracy.
Yeah, it probably is. Hey, we paid enough money into the BBC in our time. Anyway, you do a thing, and it's online. That means we can stream, because you can't watch. If you go to BBC iPlayer, which is their player thing, you can't watch it in the United States.
Oh, I see.
Because
that's going to change soon. Soon you won't have to be illegal.
Oh, thank goodness.
I think
I'll continue to be illegal.
My girlfriend's dad got a similar box for Christmas that allows him to watch all movies in theaters at his home. I don't know how it works. But he's like, yeah, come over, we'll watch The Revenant. I'm like, no, I don't want to be there while you're doing that.
That's great. That's hilarious. He's probably got this, probably a camera in a movie theater. That's the way to do it.
Well, no, it's real quality. It's like HD. Really? I'm pretty sure they catch people with cameras in movie theaters now. Although there's a great Seinfeld episode about that. Have you seen that one?
No.
Where Jerry somehow gets looped in and is hired to shoot a movie.
To film a movie.
Yeah, to pirate a movie.
That's great.
Oh, it's funny.
Well, I don't know how they do all that, but we've got this thing. We've had it forever. It was so that Ava could watch her soap operas, her British soap operas. I promised her two things.
When she came to America?
When I dragged her to America. Yeah. I promised her that, A, we would go back to England at least once a year.
And she does.
And she does, yeah. back to England at least once a year, which I think she's been at least once a year. And that she would be able to watch her soap operas that she's addicted to,
mm-hmm.
which she does. So that's how we did it, through this VPN thing. So she watches these soap operas that everyone in Britain
watches. I feel
better
about it now that you're fulfilling a promise to your wife.
Right, we're not. But there's the contents, you know, British TV is magnificent. So, yeah, it's good if we'll be able to get that. You'll see some great stuff.
Speaking of Brits... Peter Asher is being interviewed by you today.
I know. I'm very excited to meet him. You know that character, what's the Mike Myers character?
Austin Powers.
Based on Peter Asher.
No.
The double of him.
Wow.
Based on him.
And you said he was in the room when "I Want to Hold Your Hand" was written.
He'll probably tell the story. He's told it a million times, but he tells the story that he was at his mom's house, at his mom's house. Peter and Jane Asher was his sister, who was also Paul McCartney's first real girlfriend. And Paul and John were upstairs. Peter Asher's mom had a piano. A bit posh, actually. Sounds a bit posh. Posher than those lads from Liverpool were used to, anyway. Anyway, they're upstairs, and they come downstairs, and they say, "Hey, we've just written a song. You want to hear it?" And Peter goes, "Yeah, I'll come upstairs." So he goes upstairs, and they play the song, and it's "I Want to Hold Your Hand."
But that was the Beatles' first hit, wasn't it?
Not in Britain, it wasn't. Please Me was.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering what they're doing hanging out before the Beatles were even really a thing.
Do you know what's amazing? To have written that on the piano. Anybody who's a musician will tell you, it's a simple guitar song.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what they did, because at the beginning it goes, ba ba ba. They must have been hammering away on the piano.
Yeah.
God, that's amazing to me. Anyway, he's fascinating, because he's been there since the swinging 60s, the whole thing through that. He produced every Linda Ronstadt album. Everyone.
She lives next to my parents in Tucson, Arizona.
Really?
Yeah.
How funny. Well, there you go. It's 6 degrees, isn't it, of separation. He's produced Cher. He's produced Ringo Starr, 10,000 Maniacs. He's quite current, too. He's been doing some stuff with Ed Sheeran.
Oh, really?
Recently.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the reason why that Jason's talking with him on the phone today is because this weekend, Peter Asher is playing with the Laguna Concert Band for two nights, on Saturday and Sunday, at 7 p.m. Saturday. And then, are there two performances Sunday? I see there's a matinee here that we have tickets to.
I think it's the only one. I think
okay,
there's only
so
two.
There's two performances.
Two performances.
And this is something the concert band has done with you, with Lee Rocker.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about Peter Asher because it's such a big deal, but we shouldn't dismiss the fact that our Laguna Beach concert band is so brilliant.
Right.
They're really great. They're not your average local, you know, they're kind of an orchestra, but there's no strings apart from upright bass, as I remember. But they're just so great. A lot of professional musicians who have retired that just go and do it for fun. And somebody like Peter Asher certainly wouldn't be doing this if he didn't think they were first
right.
class. And they
so
are.
they're going to back his renowned personal retrospective, a musical memoir of the 60s and beyond. It should be really cool, I think. And we only have four tickets.
True.
And we're going to give away two.
Right. And if you don't think you know who Peter and Gordon are, you do. They're one of those duos, bands, artists, whatever, that if I started to sing the songs, you'd go, "Oh, yeah, I know that song." So,
we're going to give away two tickets in a moment, appropriately, with a game of Beat the Brit. Sound okay?
Okay.
So, we need someone to call in, 949-715-5936, and you will play a game of American Trivia versus Jason. You don't have to win, but you should.
You just have to call in. Come on. Let's have some fun.
And you'll get to go see this amazing retrospective locally at Laguna Playhouse. We're not asking you to drive to Anaheim. It's really just downtown.
Either call in or bring me a egg and Canadian bacon sandwich on a croissant and a coffee. And then you can have the tickets as well.
So call us at 949-715-5936 to win two tickets to see Peter Asher with the Laguna Concert Band this weekend, again, 715-KXFM. Right?
Right.
Daily Scramble Live.
That was a group called David Wax Museum. Before that, an artist, local artist, by the name of, looks like Jason Fetty.
Ah, I remember him.
Yeah, me too.
I like that song. I haven't heard it in a while. I forgot there were so many fiddles on it. Fiddly diddly music.
Your song or the other song?
The song by me. The other one I had done was that. Yeah, no, the one by me, that record was very Americana, wasn't it?
Oh, that's a great
banjos
record.
Banjos and
is that,
things.
Is that OK Computer, The Joy of
the
OK?
The Joy of OK Computer.
Is that one?
yeah, The Joy of OK.
Yeah, great album.
Thank
great
you.
Album, Jason.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You, Tyler. Thanks, mate.
We're preparing for a
Lamps
game.
To play live, I can go get a guitar, do some little bit of tap dancing.
I'm sure the audience would
clogs,
love that. Yeah.
Put some clogs on. Get me, do me clog dancing.
I'm sure they'd love it.
That's the next thing I'm doing.
Coming up, we're going to play a game of Beat the Brit.
Yeah.
Someone's going to compete against Jason Fetty.
Great.
In order to win tickets to see Peter Asher at Laguna Playhouse with the concert band this weekend.
All right, I'm going to do it. I go to pieces and I, da, na, na. I go to pieces. That's me singing and playing the coffee cup with my vape.
I'm glad you've
woken up. I'm very talented. Clog Dancing in Vegas. It's my new movie. I'm trying to get do a crowdfunding thing.
Uh-huh.
No.
Kickstarter?
Not really.
Would you like to hear a story about Tokyo?
Yeah. Tokyo!
Police are investigating the theft of hundreds of straps used by standing passengers on the Tokyo metro system. The hand straps that you hang on to.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
They're missing. 400 of them have been removed from train cars in and around Tokyo since November.
Really?
The straps are very difficult to remove and apparently worthless, which leads investigators to suspect it's vandalism for its own sake.
Yeah, but things get in the zeitgeist, don't they? They get in the ether. It's students doing this, isn't it? It's some sort of like a performance art thing.
I don't know, but I know that in Japan, and I've been there and you're about to go
there. I'm going to go, yeah, soon.
The trains are so cramped that I have no idea how you'd get away with that. Unless all the people next to you are like, whatever.
You go up late at night. It's late at night these things occur.
But even so, there's still many people.
The straps, as I remember, because I've looked at pictures, of course, of the trains in Japan. I've been doing a bit of research about Japan. And their handles are literally, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a handle that you literally would slot into your fist. You could hold on to it like that.
Oh, like it's...
It's like a triangular shaped thing on a string.
That's what it is.
Basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's different to the old ones in London, which were like a pool ball.
Okay.
It was a pool ball on a spring, which I always thought was a really cool looking thing. And always was looking at them going, how you get that thing off? I'd love to have one of those.
What is somebody preparing for that they're stealing 400 straps? I have a feeling something very sinister is going on.
Do you think so? I think it's like a Japanese performance thing. They're kind of wacky in that way.
Oh, they're very wacky.
They're wacky.
You're going in what? You're going in just a few weeks.
They do things differently there.
You're going in 3 weeks, right?
February 23rd.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
It's right around the corner. If you guys were getting tired of Jason not being here, well, get ready.
Hey. It's not easy to do this kind of stuff every day, play the cup, sing along, play the cup every day. I have to go and have a little sabbatical once in a while.
Anyway, that's the latest from around the world. We'll have a story about the Zika virus in the news after 8 a.m. We'll play a game of Beat the Brit. Caroline will be here with Caroline's Cause Corner, and Linda will count down some football foods.
I've had that Zika virus.
You've had it?
Yeah. I've never been Zika in my whole life. KX93.5
1776 was a long time ago, my fellow Americans. Let's see if you've still got it. It's time to play Beat the Brit on KX93.5.
All right. Beat the Brit is live. Good morning, sir, on the phone. Hello.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Greg Chavette.
Hello, Greg. We're going to play a game called Beat the Brit. Basically, I'm going to read you American history questions. And you're going to try to answer them more correctly than our resident British student, Jason Fetty.
Oh, I say hello, cheerio, pip, pip.
You really are British, all right?
I really am British, yeah. Seriously. I'm seriously British.
That's good. I'm going to save you any of my own accent completely. I'm saving you from it.
So, you get it? It's pretty easy. Just answer the trivia questions. Hopefully, you'll know more than the British man since you seem to be American.
That's
oh,
right.
Lord. Okay.
The whole point of it is to make fun of you or me or something, and you win the tickets anyway. So well, don't worry about it.
I'm used to.
And
I'm used to. All right.
The theming of today's questions are things that I learned on my road trip across America. That's the theming of today's questions. All right. Mm. So here's the first question. Greg, you can take this one first. Thomas Paine wrote a pamphlet to convince colonists that it was time to become independent from Britain. What was it called, Greg?
Oh, boy.
I know, man. That's the same. I know it, and I don't... Wait.
Lord, Thomas Paine.
Yeah, no, it's a big pamphlet. It's a pretty big deal thing.
The Magna Carta.
Jason?
Oh, no, it's not that. It's something like... something about being sensible. On being sensible.
Man, you are so close.
It's something like that, right? On what is it? Tell us.
Common sense.
Common sense.
Common
almost.
Sense.
I almost got there.
I can't give you that one.
You know who would know the answer to that? Nick I.
No.
Common sense.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
No wow. point awarded either way. All right, Jason.
I've
you'll...
never heard of it. Okay.
Yeah, anyway. Common sense. Big deal, Greg. So, Jason, you'll take this next American history question first in a game of Beat the Brit for Peter Asher tickets. Jason,
yes.
What did the U.S. acquire for over $1 million in 1803?
I want to say Louisiana.
Greg?
Boy. Alaska.
I don't know if we'd even found Alaska yet.
I don't know. I thought maybe it was the Louisiana Purchase. I don't know.
It is Louisiana.
Not at that price, anyway.
Yeah. Louisiana Purchase
Greg,
is absolutely
you're
right.
You're useless at this. They're going to kick you out of the United States. Your lack of knowledge.
Oh, my God.
1803, $11.5 million. We bought Louisiana Purchase for a bonus point from whom?
The French.
The French is correct. All right.
Wow. I'm sitting on my tail that's tucked between my legs.
Hey, listen, I had to pass a test to get into the country. That's the only reason I know these answers to these questions.
All right, crap.
Here you go, Greg. You'll take this one first. Who was the fifth president of the United States?
Fifth. Emily Jones. Oh, my God. The fifth. What a number.
Nobody knows the fifth.
I don't know the fifth.
You can plead the fifth.
I was going to say you can take the fifth, but I don't know if he'd go.
Take a guess.
Hamilton.
Ooh, that's a good guess.
Jason?
Oh, I don't know. I've no idea, so I'm just going to say one of those. It's one of those Adamses. Adams. The younger
nice.
One.
Well played.
James
well
played. Monroe
oh,
was
Monroe,
the fifth
of
president
Monroe.
Of the
oh,
United States. And in fact, right. Alexander Hamilton was never a U.S. president.
Well, not at that price.
All right. Here's something I learned on my trip across America.
Go ahead.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Yeah. In 1836, General Lopez Antonio de Santa Anna launched an assault on what mission? Jason Fay.
The Alamo. Oh, sorry.
Well, you got straight in there.
All right. Yeah. All right. It is the Alamo.
The Alamo, yeah.
The Alamo. San Antonio, they killed all the Texas defenders. David Bowie died in that.
Right, yeah. So I believe.
Did he really?
In that assault.
Did he really? I'm going to tell you this, though. Ziggy Stardust put up a hell of a fight before it happened.
Yeah, boy, could it. Listen, he took it too far, but boy.
All right.
Set around.
Oh, man.
One more question.
The beginning of Suffragette. Yeah.
Jason, you'll take this one first.
All right.
The first African-American military aviators in the United States Armed Forces were known as what?
Oh, do you know, I don't know. There was a movie made about them, wasn't there?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
There's some wing thing.
The wing things.
The wings.
Oh, my God.
Chicken wings.
No, wait, Adam, it was the Adam's thing, wing. Adam's wing.
Adam's wing. I think that's what Eve was made of. I don't know.
Neither of you know this one?
We don't know the answer.
Greg?
I don't.
We're terrible at black history. That's really appalling of us.
To be fair, I only knew this because I drove past the town. In Alabama, the Tuskegee Airmen.
I can't even say
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. Sorry. Hello.
It's all right. there was a movie made about them, and it was a fascinating movie, and I forgot. Tuskegee
Airmen. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, you know what? Jason probably got more questions right, but it doesn't matter, Greg, because you still win.
You're the winner.
All right.
That's all right.
Going to go see Peter Asher. I go to pieces. That's him.
That's too good.
Yeah.
Will Gordon be there?
In spirit.
Peter Asher That's will play with awesome. The whole Laguna Concert Band this Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2. We'll talk to you in a sec, Greg, and find out which show you want. But that's one of our two pairs of tickets, so you get to go. Thanks for playing along with us this morning.
Thanks for embarrassing me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen of the listening public in Laguna Beach, California and beyond, I'm Jason Fetty, and it is my pleasure to welcome to our Pearl Street studio in beautiful downtown Laguna, from 60s sensations, Peter and Gordon, legendary record producer, and the man that signed James Taylor to Apple Records, Mr. Peter Asher.
blood coming down the street. I get so shaky and I feel so weak. I tell my eyes look the other way, but they don't seem to hear a word I say. And I go to pieces and I wanna hide. Go to pieces and I almost die every time my baby passes by. Tell my arms they'll hold someone new, another love that will be true. But they don't listen, they don't seem to care. He reached for her, but she's not there. And I go to pieces and I wanna hide. Go to pieces and I almost die every time my baby passes by. I remember what she said when she said goodbye. Baby, we'll meet again soon, maybe. But until we do, all my best to you. I'm so lonely, think about her only. Go to places we used to go, but I know she'll never show. She hurt me so much inside. Now I hope she's satisfied. And I go to pieces and I wanna hide. Go to pieces and I almost die every time my baby passes by. Go to pieces and I cry every time my baby passes by. Go to pieces and I cry every time my baby passes by.
Peter Ash is in the studio. Hard to believe he's here with your musical director. Jeffrey Alan Ross is here too. And how fun.
Yes, absolutely. Nice to be here in Laguna Beach.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Now, of course, you're here to do a show, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But
yes,
it's just so nice to meet you. You've been part of all of our worlds. I mean, I know you've never met me before, but I feel like, you know, my Uncle Pete's here.
Well, thank you very much. When did you move over here?
15 years ago.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm too young to remember the 60s. And I wasn't, I'm not saying that because I was, you know, doing acid or anything. I was literally too young.
And doing acid.
Not till a little later. I did it when it wasn't cool. You know? But no, it's you've been involved in all the music that we all really love. Do you ever pinch yourself and go, blimey, look at that?
No, but I've enjoyed myself so far, and I'm proud of what I've done. But no, I can believe it. It's a long and interesting story.
Yeah, how did you get into music in the first place? Were you always into music or?
Well, yes, I grew up in a musical household. My mother was a classical musician. She was oboe professor at the Royal Academy of Music in London. And my father was a doctor but a good amateur pianist. So I grew up in a very musical household. And then I discovered rock and roll, you know, and fell in love with it.
Yeah, yeah. And you obviously your name is inextricably linked with the Beatles. And you wrote songs along with Paul McCartney, and we're in the room.
No, I wish I'd written songs along with Paul McCartney. You know, sadly, that's
is that not
that's
true? I've made that up. Did I make that up?
Yeah, but I'd love to know which ones I wrote.
You could have gone along.
I want my share.
Does the Queen know? Because she just gave you a knighthood. No, they see,
well, not
it was
quite
not a knighthood. See,
exactly. CBE. She did. Yes.
I'm just trying to big
very
you
graciously.
Up. I'm trying to.
But
big
you're
up.
Promoting me all the time.
I am. I'm trying.
I wrote
to.
The Beatles songs, and I'm a knight. But other than that, other than that, it's
that's
all
right.
True.
Right. He rode into the city today on Paul McCartney's horse.
That's right.
And a CBE though, that's a big deal. Commander of most excellent something.
Order of the British Empire. Yes, it's
yes,
true.
Sir.
I think it's probably too late to save the empire, but I'll do my best. But as long as I've cheered people up a bit, that's right. Although, of course, some of the James Taylor songs I produced probably made him miserable.
Tell us about that. Yeah, no. Because there's something about a miserable man singing that's quite uplifting in an odd way.
Well, that's the basis of the blues, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the blues are all about.
Yeah. How did you meet James Taylor?
Through a mutual friend called Danny Korchmar, who's a guitar player. And oddly enough, it was a series of coincidences. Danny was in a band that had backed Peter and Gordon on several tours in America. He was in a band called the King Bees. Every time we toured America, we'd get a different band. And one of them had Danny in it. We became firm friends and remained so. And he was subsequently in a band with his childhood friend, James Taylor, a band called The Flying Machine. And James, that band was a New York-based band, and they broke up. They were all kind of miserable and strung out and this, that, and the other. And James decided to go to London, where he had a girlfriend he thought he could stay with. And Danny gave him my phone number. Said, well, if you're going to London, I've got a friend who lives there. You should give him a call. So he did. And he came over to my flat and played me some songs, and I went nuts.
And you were working at Apple at the time.
I just recently got the job as head of A&R for Apple Records. So I said, well, it so happens I'm just started work at a new record label. I'm head of A&R, and I can sign people. Would you like a record deal? And he went, yes, please. That sounds great. And then I explained who owned the label and stuff.
Right. Know,
within a few days, therefore, he was in the studio, in the office, meeting the Beatles.
Having a great time.
Yep.
Mike Waldman is here from Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness. And Mike, I know Mike Lewitt is a huge fan of the Beatles and stuff. You got a question you'd like to ask?
Well, I think what Jason was going to ask you about the time I read that you came downstairs in your home one day and you saw Paul McCartney and John Lennon singing a song for the first time together.
Yeah, well...
You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Well, as I say, my mother was a oboe teacher, and she was, in addition to teaching the Royal Academy of Music up the road, she had a music room in the basement where she would give private lessons. And Paul was living in our house at the time, which is a long story, but he and I were sharing the top floor of our house. And my mama told him that he could use the piano in this basement room anytime he wanted when she wasn't teaching. And so there was an occasion, yes, when John Lennon came over and they were downstairs with the piano. No guitars. The guitars were upstairs in my bedroom and Paul's bedroom, actually. So, and they were down there an hour or so, and Paul called up the stairs and asked if I wanted to come down and hear the song they'd just written. So I came and sat on the sofa in this room, and they sat side by side on the piano bench and played this new song they'd just written called I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh, my God.
Asked me what I thought.
Wow, that's a great story.
Yep.
Pretty incredible.
Not the first time I've told that story, but...
No.
I'm sure when I thought about it, I'm sure that was true. But it's a story I think people love to hear.
It's remarkable, and it's true.
You know, it's funny. There's been a sort of outpour. For a long time, people kept the personal stuff kind of close to the chest about what went on in the 60s. And there's been a sort of outpouring recently. You know, Frida made the movie, and I think recently people just want to tell the story a little bit more. It's nice for us because we get to hear the ins and outs of the songs that we've loved since we were children.
That's true. I'd love to attribute it to a desire to tell their story. It's probably a desire to cash in, to be honest. But,
well, possibly. That's all right. Whatever.
Everyone's making a book deal. But, yeah, it does lead to a lot of interesting storytelling. But you also, of course, you know, the trouble is, and that's one of the reasons I don't write a book, is there is a tendency for everyone to write stories about, you know, I was the fifth Beatle, and then I told Paul, and then John said to me and stuff. So, that you know, while I don't mind telling stories, of course, about the past, but there is a tendency that everyone's role in the 60s grows in size.
In size,
As time goes by. So I try not to exaggerate to the best of my ability.
I mean, see, I agree with you, because Mike Waldman's read all those books.
You should see my library.
Every time one comes out, he gets another one. He's like, oh, great.
Well, there are a lot of them. I mean, at Apple, I think everyone who worked at Apple has probably written a book. My assistant's written a book.
Right.
Jack Oliver wrote a book. Tony Bramwell wrote a book. You know, that entire office.
Everybody has,
was filled,
who is your
was
assistant?
Filled with authors. Chris O'Dell.
I read that book.
I rest my case.
That's one of my favorite books. I don't know. I have no idea if it's true or not, but it's delightfully written.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Chris, as you'll see in the book, Chris was my assistant when she got there.
Let's talk more in a minute. I know you're coming to town to do something special here in Laguna Beach. The Laguna Concert Band, an organization which I'm familiar with around here, and Peter Asher are going to do a British Invasion tribute. Saturday, February 6th at 7 p.m. Sunday, February 7th at 2 p.m. There's only two shows available for this.
Yes. No, the Laguna Playhouse.
Yes.
It's going to be amazing. I mean, I didn't know about this band, I have to admit, until someone told us about it. And I looked them up and everything, and it's extraordinary. It's a huge orchestra, but with no strings. It's all brass and woodwinds.
That's right.
And they sound amazing.
Yeah.
So when they said, you know, look, would you... We sometimes have guest people come and sing, and would you like to sing with us? I had no hesitation in saying yes right away. So in the interim, we've been going back and forth working on arrangements. They have some brilliant arrangers in-house, and they sent me mock-ups and scores. You know, I got a new one this morning, which I listened to and read through and made some comments and stuff, but it's great. So, I mean, it's going to be some of the songs you're expecting to hear and some songs that you're not necessarily expecting to hear that I've added in for this purpose, but particularly songs which will work well with this extraordinary and exciting orchestral lineup.
Well, you guys, would you play another song for us, and then we'll chat a bit more after?
Okay, absolutely, yeah. We'll do the song that kind of began it all, you know, when this is a song Paul McCartney wrote. Very briefly, as you may know, the story was that it was an unfinished song that nobody wanted. Paul had written it, and John had turned it down for the Beatles. Nobody else was doing it. Paul hadn't bothered to finish it. And so when Gordon and I got a record deal, I went back to Paul and said, is that song still, you know, an orphan? And he said, yes, it is. And I said, well, could we adopt it? Would you finish it for us, and may we sing it? And he said, yeah, nobody wants it. You know, take it. So sometimes people go, how did you get all those great songs out of the Beatles? The answer is, it was kind of a throwaway. But I really liked it, and we made this record of it, and it changed my life forever. I was a philosophy student at the time. And next thing you know, I was a pop star with a big hit, being chased by screaming girls, which was an improvement over being a philosophy student.
So Peter Asher is here in the studio at KX93.5. We're very, very lucky to have him here. He's coming to town to do the British Invasion tribute at Laguna Playhouse on, and I'll get this right, February 6th and 7th. He's here with his musical director, Mr. Jeffrey Alan Ross, and they're going to play live for us right now in the studio at KX93.5.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Please lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. Birds sing out of tune and rain clouds hide the moon. I'm okay, here I'll stay my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. So I wait, and in a while I will see my true love smile. She may come, I know not when. When she does, I'll know. So baby, until then, lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love.
This is where the Laguna Concert Band will take it away. It'll be a massive, gigantic instrumental solo by the huge assembled orchestra. Make this 12-string sound totally wimpy.
So I wait, and in a while I will see my true love smile. She may come, I know not when. When she does, I'll know. So baby, until then, lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love.
That is the song that's, you know, and you smile, like, and it just makes everybody smile. And so fantastic to hear you. Tell us a bit about, just before you go, and I know everybody's on a rush to get out and do the things they need to do, but I'd love to know a bit about the swinging 60s in London, yours, a few memories of that, and what it was like to move to LA back then for a young Englishman.
Yeah, I didn't move to LA till about 1970, but the swinging 60s in London were pretty much all they were cracked up to be. We really did have a good time, you know. It was a recovery, you know, because they, what people in America don't realize is how grim the 50s were in England. You know, the 50s were black and white. There was rationing. You know, it was a very grim time. We all tried to cheer ourselves up with a new queen and all that stuff. But, you know, but in the end, America was where the action was.
Right, it was
America,
a golden
we looked
age
across
here.
The Atlantic, and it was all, yeah, you know, fabulous technicolor wonderfulness, and England was all bomb sites and rationing. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the Americans always feel like, you know, it was a British invasion, like Britain invaded America with its culture. But some of that in Britain must have come from America.
Oh, like totally. Musically, it all did.
Yeah.
I mean, we all began, the Beatles and all of us began as tribute bands to American rock and roll. So that's the miracle of it, that we took your music, fell in love with it, and sold it back to you, which was very strange.
Isn't that,
I mean,
yeah.
When I say you, I mean them.
You mean them, you know, yeah.
And we bought a lot of it.
Exactly.
And we still are.
Exactly.
No, I'll take it. No, I'm American.
They loved our music. They loved our accents. They thought anyone who was the English accent was automatically intelligent. And it was fantastic.
Oh, they still do, Peter.
And luckily,
they really do.
That,
how do you think an idiot like me gets a job like this? You know, just talk and they go, oh, you sound so great. You must have a degree. Well, actually, no.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, neither do I. I'm a dropout.
So that's, you know, you've been working all this time and you're really a current guy. I mean, worked recently with Ed Sheeran.
Yes.
And before that, 10,000 Maniacs, who we love very much.
Yes.
And what I'm interested in really from the point of view of the radio station, which we're a generational alt-rock station, we like to break new music, we love to get in on what's really happening at grassroots level. What do you see on the horizon for the music business?
Oh, gosh. I wish there was one particular artist I could suddenly think of a name, given that opportunity. There's so much great new music happening. I hear things I like all the time. Yeah, I don't have a particular recommendation at the moment.
Do you like the internet and the way things have changed, like
yes.
The business has changed?
Oh, well, I don't like the fact that people don't buy records anymore. That's right. A bit of a disadvantage.
It's a bummer that artists aren't getting paid.
But other than that, I love what it's done for the music. I mean, that you can access so many different kinds of music and hear it easily, you know, that's wonderful. And music is as important in people's lives as it ever was. In a way, the fact that you no longer get to be a billionaire by being a rock star isn't the end of the world, you know?
Right.
And of course, if you go on the road, you can make a fortune now, like you always could. But nobody makes a fortune selling records except Adele.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, that's the top.
And good luck for her. Right. She is that good. The great news is that somebody who's breaking all the records and being that gigantic is actually
that good. Yeah,
one of the best singers in history.
And that change, like the change in recording as well, and in the sort of technology in studios, was that an easy transition for you? I should say.
I loved it. I mean, I was, because suddenly now you can do the things we dream of doing. I mean, back in the day, we'd go, God, if only I could just fix that one note, that's the perfect take. Now you can.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can do a lot more than that, as you know. And they used to say even back then, oh, you can make anyone sound good in the recording studio. Well, actually, you can now.
You can these days, yeah.
But you can't give them what Adele or Ed Sheeran have. You can make them sound like they can sing better than they can, but you can't make them move you.
Well, I think if anybody can give an artist soul, it's you, Peter Asher. I'm just delighted that you're here.
Well, thank you very much, yeah.
And we're excited that you're coming to town on, I'm going to get it right again, Saturday, February 6th, 7 o'clock, Sunday, February 7th at 2 p.m. That's at the Laguna Playhouse, Invasion tribute. Tickets available at the Playhouse website. Everybody knows in town where to find that. It's very exciting.
Would you like to share one song that we're not expecting?
No.
Okay.
Because then you'd be expecting it.
True enough. Jeff's laughing. Thank you as well, Jeff, for coming, musical director. And we're just stoked that you're here. So have a nice time in Laguna. Enjoy.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you at the show.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.